Second Timothy. Chapter 1. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Lord, of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, for a long time, I've been talking about this issue that the Bible isn't a manufacturer's handbook. It's not a history book. It's not a science book. It's not even a moral book. It's not a religious book in the context of what religion means. It is a book which calls us to move from one state of being to another, to move from time and space to eternity. As we've talked about so often, on Pentecost, God brought eternity down to earth in the New Jerusalem. So what these two verses are saying is essentially the same thing, and it's, I want to emphasize it here in a minute, but he's called us, he's invited us with a holy calling to transform or transfer ourselves into the kingdom of the Son of his love, which is eternity. Now, this was all, as we studied yesterday, this was all prefigured in the baptism and then finalized at the cross and then brought to earth on Pentecost. So these are momentous events, not just some localized thing. Because there's one baptism, one faith. When you were baptized, you're baptized into his death. When you came out of the water, you were resurrected into his life. And there's a great word, which we've touched on a few times before, but I want to study it again. From Pentecost until now, God is causing, but he can't violate our will. He's causing us to move his people, who were called from before the foundation of the world, to move our affections from time and space to eternity. That's all he's doing. That's the only purpose. And that verb about move us is a word that we've studied before. It's the word abar, or Abar. John baptized Jesus at a place called Beth Abar on the Jordan River. And that, again, Abar means passing from one state of being to another. So even the baptism of Jesus was in the house, Beth Abar, the house of passage from one state of being to another. You can't get, and the reason that you live and breathe and move and have your very being in him is you cannot any longer use the tools that brought you to this place. It's a passage, but you have to be completely passed into. Now let's look at, we go to Matthew 11 again.
studied this last night in Exodus 20, where the altar of earth, not a tool couldn't be used on any of the stones or polluted.
Amen. Verse 7.
Did you say Matthew 20?
No, Matthew 11, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. Now, this is what I want to talk about in a minute, about this John the Baptist. What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what you went out to see, what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not been arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah which was for to come. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Now the idea here in verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. Now, the kingdom of heaven is being subject to violence. The violent take it by force. In other words, this was happening here is you're being forced through this, if you can imagine a time and space sized tube of toothpaste. You're being forced into the kingdom by going through that dot that's smaller than your eye can see into the kingdom of heaven. Because nothing can take with it. You're no longer subject to anything that's going on in time and space. This is why it says, what shall I liken this generation? They're likened unto... They're sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. And can you see what that means in its totality? It means that there is nothing in time and space. You never fear what they fear. You don't like what they like because you're being forced into this incredibly small hole, and only that which came from the Father can return to him. And it's you've got to see this, otherwise you're going to get involved in all these little people are going to constantly calling unto you to dance and you have not danced. So they're calling unto you to lament and you have not lamented. Can you see the big picture? It's only about time. It's only about God. That's his only purpose, is to cause his children to move to that new identity. That action is called sanctification. What?
Well, if you're a new creature, then you're not subject to the things of the old creature. And the old creature is subject to everything, everybody. And yet when you're transformed, it's not that you try or don't try, you just aren't. You're a different thing.
Well, but you have to see and repent every time you follow whatever is going on in the world. It doesn't matter what it is. You can't use... Remember the scripture says, use the world, but don't abuse it? You're using it as a hammer for this one singular purpose. But you're not giving the hammer any breath. That's what it means, that you love the Lord. Remember, the love there is the verb. It means give breath to, give importance to. You love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. There is room for nothing else then. You know, and again, I mean, we had hundreds of people go through here. You know, and some of them thought they heard, but you know, the afflictions that arise because of the word, they're offended. You know, the whole, it's only about those that go through this passage. Everybody see that? For God's people, at the death of Christ, at the sacrifice of him, and all the prophets and all the law were fulfilled, and the kingdom of heaven is here. Now, that's all there is. You're at the source of all things. You worry not about what's going on. You don't give any breath to anything that's happening. You have to live it. You have to live this mystery. There's no way of describing how important Jesus' baptism was. Because that's where this kingdom, this mystery of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, that's where it was brought into existence at his baptism. And then fulfilled in reality at his death and resurrection. You know, let's go back again to Daniel 9. You got to see this. In this context.
Go back where?
Daniel 9. Verse 24. Remember, this is where when Daniel was truly in a state of supplication after praying for his people and praying for his own sins. And he was in that state of pure supplication. Pure, he was totally in the hands of God. No other influence, nothing else could influence him. And talks about, then Gabriel came and touched him and said he was a neat guy and all that. But in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. There's nothing else that's fulfilled. And we've gone through it 100 times about from the time of the going forth and rebuilding of Jerusalem. It's the 70, there's 70 weeks of years, and it was all fulfilled at this point.
This is Jesus Christ. It's not a bunch of things that
are. No, it's Him.
It's Him.
He is the kingdom of heaven. He is the church. He is the sacrifice. He is the one it's sacrificed to. He is all and in all. Remember, all of the scriptures in the New Testament that had to do with Pharisees. The Pharisee is the one that separates, i.e. they're in time and space. There are things that are holy and things that are secular. There are things that are, all of that is gone. There's no more. It's all gone. All right. This is big. I hope you understand. This is what it means. We're studying, you know, it was brought to light at His appearing. He was baptized at the Jordan River, as I said, in the place called Bethabara, literally the house of passage. And it was said, abar is a verb that indicates movement or passage from one state of being in time and space to another in eternity. It expresses the thought that one person causes or motivates another to move. Moses spoke of Israel as entering in or passing aber into a covenant. The word Hebrew comes from the word aber. The term Hebrew is first used to designate Abraham and then all of Israel. It's the people who are from the other side. Now, what's mind-blowing to me is Ezekiel used the term eber as an adverb when describing the flight pattern of the living creatures. They went straight forward in the direction their face pointed. And they went is a bear. They passed from one state of being into another. But they did it as a, you know, we've said so often about the four beasts and the wheel within a wheel. That is all a description to best that anybody can describe of what this passage from one state of being looks like. It's almost a mathematical formula that has all these integers and different things that are going on at the same time that are not comprehensible to the human mind. They're not comprehensible, especially to those who are the English-speaking people of the world. Because we don't have any words like a bear. God established this mystery through Jesus. He causes a bear, John to move to a certain part of the Jordan. He motivates Jesus to meet John at a specific predetermined time and location in time and space to establish all righteousness, which is both mental and spiritual. And God causes Jesus to seek the wilderness for 40 days. He causes the devil, the evil one, to tempt or test Jesus. He causes Jesus to move forward and establish the kingdom in His church. It So God continued to cause his people to be forcefully advancing, that we just read in Matthew. And when the term, when Eber is used as a verb, it is the person of God himself in Jesus Christ. And he causes Eber to move from this, through this tiny hole, as within his kingdom, as we abandon ourselves. It's total abandonment. It's no thing other than abandonment. And the abandonment I abandoned yesterday, or I abandoned about an hour ago. It's total abandonment. And the other part of this we've talked about many times. I wrote this for last word before. That's why I'm reading it. His humility is so total that he will not violate your will. As long as you have a will and a way, he must, in order to retain his humility, allow us to go again, move away from him, until we see vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities. All is vain and vexation of spirit. That's why I have to say so often, his humility is so great that he cannot occupy any place in you where you still are. Even the subconscious areas, he cannot occupy until you empty. And that emptying must be total. Amen. Anybody have anything else?
Part of what I was saying is that we talk about the violence to start with, and then get into this incredible mystery picture that cannot be perceived or understood by this great thing in our heads that's pretty powerful and unique, and it's everything it is, it's brain, and yet it is so inferior to the mystery that it can't be used to understand that mystery.
Right.
It has to be abandoned, or there is no understanding, but the violence takes place in my brain trying to line up, make it work, and fit it. That's what my brain wants to do. But I felt that violent reaction and the fight.
This is why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. You got to see that Christ completed it. He completed the need. He fulfilled time. Let's go back to Mark 1. What?
The cross is your beginning and your completion and your ending.
Amen.
And when you're done, you can't even use the word "you" in the sentence.
Right.
Yeah.
Our.
It just is. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot where I said to go.
Martha,
oh, yeah, I know. Let's start in verse 9 again. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John. Remember, God caused John to be there at the particular time. He caused Jesus to be there at the particular time. Just as you remember what it said about
Boaz and
Ruth and Boaz, and then the Tob was the other guy, the good guy. it's so, you know, God had to have the one that had the right of first redemption there at the particular time. And he had to trick him to say, you know, that he didn't want to blot his inheritance so he couldn't marry her. And he would have created a new universe if necessary to cause that to happen and cause Tob to be deceived so that Boaz could be the type of Christ, could marry the bride. I mean, it's like, in God, remember this word in Hebrew is zakar, and it's translated as remember, but it's the appropriate action at exactly the appropriate time, moving whatever is necessary within that sphere to reach that point. God remembered Carolyn. God remembered John. God remembered Pete. God remembered Sue. God remembered Gary. God remembered you. You got to see it. You're not a little victim of circumstance running around trying to make your best and do your best. That's horseshit. That's all gone. Mark. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. And now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the gospel. Time is fulfilled. Redeem the time for the days of evil. Redeem it, just see what it is. For us now, there's no more such thing as a holy land. There's no such thing as a holy place. Now, for us, all of time and space is equally holy. We see that it's only to be used of God to put you to the test for the purposes, not of disapproving, for the purposes of approving you. But abandonment is the key. You can't abandon until you see the emptiness. I'm doing a lot of marriage counseling lately, which is interesting. One couple, the husband is satisfied if he just has a nice wife and children and a comfortable home. The wife is the ultimate in ambition. And so I'm telling him all this. And she's all upset at him because he doesn't share her idolatry. And we saw this the competing idolatries, which were just, it's the perfect picture of the companion antagonist. We'll see what happens. She said, we were talking about it, I said, I was talking about what happened to me, what it took for me to come to the end of myself. And so she said, I would have married you when you were back there. You could have helped me. But now I wouldn't marry you.
Such honesty.
In our abandonment, he points our face in the direction of his face. We have crossed over. We are a bear. As he continues to establish his kingdom, the Lord himself becomes our heir, because for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen? Let's go to Ezekiel once more. I'm going to show you one scripture. Ezekiel 34. Turned right to it. Verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? You eat the fat, and you clothe you with wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. They were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Now, this is talking to you and I. It's not talking to somebody else. My sheep wandered through all the mountains of them on every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, and this next one makes me cry every time I read it. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep, and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountain of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they that feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek after that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is breaking forth. So, back quickly to 2 Timothy. Now, with all that we've just said, hear what he said. be is who hath saved us, talking about Christ, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, with grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The kingdom of heaven came down to meet us. Amen?
Amen.
What? You're doing it.
No, I'm just totally absorbed.
Okay. Any thoughts, Mr. Bojo? Amen? Carolyn? The rest of you, amen?
Amen.
It's pretty exciting. It can be nothing more exciting. So no longer seek after the beggarly things of the world. They're just dust. All righty, take a big breath. What?
Amen.
This was going to be the last word way back in 1999, and I was checked. I didn't give it to John to fix.
Yeah?
Huh.
Wow. Couldn't do it?
No, it was just not the right time.